Hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT case study call for the month of December, 2019. This is our last case study call for the year 2019 and the last case study call for the decade. We start a new decade. We start a new year next month. So I'm excited to have everybody here, and we have two cases that have been submitted, one from Patty and one from Lori. So I'm going to start with Patty. Lori, you had some labs attached to yours. There were three labs, which I have open. Patty, you didn't, and you were waiting on the results of your Dutch test. When did you send that in?
I just actually got that from Angelica. She sent it to me 2 days ago.
Okay.
Because it was sent to you.
What's that?
It was sent to you. Yeah. But I thought that's how it was.
It was sent by the company to me, but it goes to her, but she's supposed to get it in front of me. Because I don't look at those emails. So I'm going to have to search for it.
Would you like to try to send you the one that she sent from me? Would that be helpful?
Let me see. She's supposed to save it in a folder, but I'm not sure how that works. I'm not sure because she's not here to ask. I think she's in the Netherlands still, and so her time hours are a little bit different. Let me look to see if she put it in the labs folder. It just was 2 days ago, huh? Let's see. See, the way that the company sends it, they send me this thing. It doesn't say who the person is. Then I have to click links. I have to log in, and I don't have time for that.
Wow, so, yeah.
And I, yeah, you may, you can access the peer review. I don't even see the point. Oh, no, I have to just log in randomly into that thing. Wow. So let me see if she saved it. That's why I gave the job to her, because I personally am a big picture. I'm a detail person, but I get very impatient when I have to do things that just seem like a waste of time to me. Like, if you want to give me something, send me a link with the lab in, and I look at it and I love it and I get excited. Like, it was so easy with Lori's because I just clicked the links and it opened the files and it was easy. So let me see if I can find this.
I had just assumed that it was already sent in your, that's why I didn't resend it. So
Yeah. So always think you're going to resend it because, or attach it. You know, what really helps on these cases is if you have the thing, attach it on that form, because then all I have to do is click that little link on there and I have it immediately along with the history. So you're new, this is your first one, you know, no big deal. I'm just trying to figure out where this might be. Client folders, NEPT, case study calls. Let's see. Nope, that hasn't been updated. Why don't you go ahead and just email it to coaching@drritamarie.com.
Okay.
We'll just see if she put it on the Google Drive, and then she and I will work out what the process should be for those. I know what the process is when it's somebody in our ERC program. Everybody has a folder on the Google Drive and she puts it in there. So that's an easy way. But given that you're in NEPT, I am not sure how this is supposed to work.
You can go ahead with Lori and I'll try to attach it for you and get all that.
Okay, so
you
don't... why don't I do that? And let me go ahead and just
mute myself.
I will. All right, I'll go ahead with Lori. So what I'm going to do is open up I just had it open a minute ago. It was under practitioners cases. So I keep a folder as these come in. I just keep a folder that's basically cases for upcoming calls, and then I go there as we go through it. But let's see. Lori's is here. All right. I wonder if... Yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy and paste the entirety. I just realized that this isn't going to work to share my screen. So I'm just going to copy your case. And the way that these work, I'm going to put it into a Google Doc. And that way we can share just the one screen. It makes it easier with... it makes it easier to do this with... let me see. So I go here with the way that Zoom works. New... doc, create and share. It's going to be in the wrong place. I'll move it later. I'm going to put it in here and it will be Lori. All right. So let me share my screen and then I'll explain to you how we're going to do this. And then if you unmute yourself, this is an interactive experience. So if you're unmuted, that's awesome. So I'm going to do a share my screen. All right. So Lori, congratulations on submitting your first case. Awesome. Awesome. Yay. So basically the way I like to do this now, depending on whether you're a new person or have been in a while, determines how much I have you take me through the case versus me take me through the case. So you've filled in all this stuff, and generally I share the screen so everybody can see, and I'll kind of go through this, and then I'll ask you questions as we go through, right? So you have this person who is a 5'6", 200 pounds, so starting out overweight, right? Female, business owner, married and in a committed relationship with 3 kids. All right, that's our basic demographics. Top 3 concerns is, and by the way, you guys are okay with submitting your own cases. I am fine with that. It actually helps me because when I ask questions, then you already know the answers rather than, oh, I'll ask that on the next visit, right? So it speeds up the process. But the goal of these cases is to give you and is that you that has stuff in the background?
Yeah.
I'll mute you until I'm ready to ask you some stuff and then we'll unmute you. Yeah. Okay. So the goal of these calls is to, number one, give you some ideas of what are the next steps. It's not necessarily for me to have my crystal ball and come up with a diagnosis and treatment plan, because we don't do diagnosis and treatment plan, right? We get a sense of what things might be out of balance and what the next test you should do would be, what the next labs you might want to do, what some of the things that in terms of what you've recommended so far, where there may be some additional things that we could recommend. And then if there's labs, I like to go through the labs. So this person has their top 3 health concerns. So when you say thyroid results, are you meaning that they're concerned that they got less than optimal results on the thyroid test?
Yes.
Okay, and are concerned about that. Has been suffering from weight gain, skin issues, plaque psoriasis, high cholesterol and LDL, and are concerned about heart attack risks. Now, we know that all of these things can be related to the first one, right? Weight gain, cholesterol, skin issues, not necessarily plaque psoriasis, but skin imbalances can be related to thyroid. So then we have you give some of the surgeries. Some of the, you know, hospitalizations and anything major. So tonsils out at age 5, many of us have had that. Is it necessarily continuing to impact? Possibly. So that's why we ask history. Whenever we're doing a case on somebody, we always want to know their history, because what of the things that happened to them early on can be contributing to what's going on now. So when I think about this, I think, oh, tonsils out at age 5 means that they probably had a lot of infections before that. Probably were on antibiotics a fair amount of time. Do you know that to be true? Were they on antibiotics for
Not too often, but occasionally.
Okay.
Once or twice every year.
Once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. That's a fair amount. So we're thinking gut dysbiosis, right? Whenever we think about that, and maybe early on and from the beginning had some gut dysbiosis, which never got addressed and is still going on. So those are the kinds of things that I'm thinking when I read this. Bronchial pneumonia and mono at age 15, again, immune system, right? Immune system and maybe some mucus, maybe some foods that are contributing to mucus formation, out of balance immune system. The thyroid was diagnosed at age 30 and she is currently, why don't I have her age? 55. Yeah. Yeah. So 25 years ago, the thyroid was diagnosed. Surgical removal of fibroids, severely anemic, heavy periods. So now we're thinking, immune system challenges, probably gut challenges as a result of some of the interventions, and hormonal imbalances. And when I think about fibroids, again, my brain goes there, but it necessarily isn't definite, is progesterone. Right? Usually with fibroids, there's an estrogen dominance and a low progesterone. So I'm basically ticking off as I'm going through a history. I'm taking a slip piece. I actually do this most of the time with a piece of paper because it's easy for me to just have, potentially this, potentially that. And I'm just kind of jotting things down as I go through and then going back and starting to put some of it together and thinking in terms of what I want to do next. Is this making sense? Yeah. So using holistic doctors, NRT, what's NRT?
It's nutrition response testing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So muscle testing for particular nutritional, right. And network spinal. Okay. Taking supplements, off thyroid meds for 5 years and only supplements. So the last 5 years has been off of thyroid meds. And
we're yes.
Okay. And so the question I always ask is, do we have a lab from 5 years ago or whenever the previous time? Well, I love to look at labs on the thyroid versus off the thyroid to see. Had amalgams removed using a holistic dentist. When I hear that, I'm like, okay, it was a holistic dentist. If I hear had amalgams removed and they went to like your run-of-the-mill dentist and said, remove these. What happened? Did they use rubber damming? Was there a supplementation protocol before and after? Did they do IV vitamin C? So all of these things come to my mind as things I want to know a little bit about so that we know, is this another drain on the immune system from all this? But amalgams, first of all, are a strain on the immune system, the metals. How many amalgams is a good question here.
I'd say 12.
12 amalgams. Okay. So for whatever years, and when was this? How long ago was this?
Just within the last year and a half.
Okay. So up until a year and a half ago, and probably most of the amalgams were put in for most people, it's like before you hit 20, or somewhere early age, right? So for decades, exposure to the heavy metal mercury in the system. Clean organic diet, avoids dairy except eggs and Kelly green butter occasionally. So that's like an organic butter.
Kelly Gold, it should have been.
Oh, Kelly Gold. Okay, got it. Avoiding gluten, peanuts, peas, corn, and soy. So avoiding the top allergens for how long? I always want to know that. How long is this elimination diet going on?
It's been, I want to say at least 5 years, if not longer.
At least 5 years, if not longer. Okay. And then eggs. Why are eggs included and not excluded? Was there an elimination phase that then said, and then a reintroduction of eggs to make sure that they weren't creating an issue?
No, I didn't really learn about eggs being a possible issue until recently, so... That was like my only breakfast food that I kept eating.
Okay. Yeah. So I would say that's a step. So I would put that down as a next step to try to just, we want to get rid of all the immune assaults on the body. And eggs can definitely be one of them. I discovered for my own self, after trying all kinds of stuff that, oh, it was the eggs that were causing this severe debilitating headache. And it wasn't clear because it wasn't every time I ate an egg. It was when I had like a big omelet or eggs 3 days in a row. So there's a lot of that stuff. And a lot of people are attached to their eggs. You may be too. And it's like, oh, I don't want to get rid of that. But I've had people where they've given it up and they said they were craving eggs. And what we discovered was they were craving the phosphatidylcholine that was in the eggs. So we got her on sunflower lecithin as part of her smoothies and soups and whatever. And the craving for eggs went away. So it was a specific nutrient that she was craving in the eggs. Sometimes cravings, though, for particular foods are related to a food allergy. So as the body, as you pull it out, the body goes, oh, I need that. I want that. But because it's an immune stimulation. C677T, MTHFR. So you have the two variants. Is it homozygous or heterozygous? Is it two variants, hetero, or one's homo, one's hetero?
Just give me a second. Let me look it up because I was just learning about this yesterday.
Yellow or green? I mean, yellow or red?
I don't know.
Right. Since we're talking to a
I am homozygous.
Homozygous, meaning red, on the C677T. Okay, got it. Because you said two variants, and I wasn't sure if you meant that there was also the 1298C or something like that. So, yeah, so homozygous, which is significant. When you're homozygous for an MTHFR, an enzyme is probably impaired by around 80%, 75 to 80%. So it's significant. We're using methylated folates, bees and folate. So I'm going to throw in something here, just as a more advanced learning. Check your COMT status.
Okay.
Because if you've got a red on COMT, then you've got to be really careful about the methylated and going really slowly with the methylated bees.
Why is that?
Because the COMT is related to dopamine and serotonin elimination. And what happens is that people with that can get a really big flare-up of anxiety or OCD-type symptoms when they do too many methyl groups because they can't all be processed properly. Then you get a methyl buildup.
Okay.
Trying a new doctor who's very concerned with thyroid numbers wants to improve adrenal. So we'll look at those in a bit. Perhaps go on next. So adrenals are very closely tied in thyroid, and it depends on what the presentation is. So this current practitioner, that's a different one than the new doctor that you're trying?
Yes.
Okay. And he doesn't believe in labs. He just says the body. Okay. I can say yes, but to that. Okay. Because I like using muscle response testing to confirm what makes sense physiologically and biochemically in the body, or to, you know, refute it. Like, oh, you need XYZ supplement, and then you muscle test and go, no, why doesn't that folate test for me? I have an MTHFR, it should, right? But if it doesn't, then that's where I use the muscle response testing as the decision point, right? Okay, folate doesn't. Is it the form of folate? Is it the brand? Is it an excipient? Is it that the body doesn't need it? Is it the amount? So that helps me. But just using the muscle response testing and ignoring labs is, I don't think, a good approach, because there's clearly something biochemically out of balance in the body. And I would say, well, what do we need to do with the response testing to find what the body does need to rebalance this? And then use the labs to go back and say, has this been rebalanced? Right? Somebody has a 450 cholesterol with LDLs up the wazoo with, you know, the dense buoyant, the dense particle sizes, you're at risk. And then add to that like a APOE44 on the genetics. And then if you go in and test somebody for butter and cheese and, you know, hydrogenated oil, and the body doesn't say no, then it says to me that maybe we really do need to take both into account. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Which is why I'm kind of not listening to him at the moment.
Yeah. So we have to have everything line up. The excess, as the excess weight, how long has the excess weight been an issue?
Years.
Years. Like decades or just years?
Probably since my 30s, because it was undiagnosed thyroid for a while. And then I'd say between 2017 and 2018, I was able to go down to 165, but I couldn't get any lower than that. Mm-hmm. And then this past year, it just all packed right back on again.
Packed on. So what did you change before that, right, that caused the weight to come off? What kind of an approach was it? Was it a keto approach, a paleo approach, a plant approach, a starvation approach, fasting? What was it that kicked you?
Yeah, it was a combination, because even when I lose weight, it's really, really slowly. So I was trying like a bodybuilder type of starvation diet with just protein and minimal carbs. I'm working out 5 days a week, lifting weights, doing aerobics and all that. And I lost about 18 pounds with that. But the food, I couldn't handle it because the carbs were, I was like craving carbs like crazy. And then I decided to stop buying that strict of a diet because she was like minimal food products. And then just went back to like the clean eating and, you know, keeping up the exercising, but just, you know, there is no rhyme or reason for it. I can't pinpoint what makes me lose it or what makes me gain it. And then, I did go through a big stress period this year. And I think that that's, it was like a trauma understanding and releasing type of thing. And it was very emotional. And then I wasn't working out or worrying about what I was eating. So it was like a combination.
Yeah.
Probably stress response.
So let me ask you this. Do you measure ketones or glucose?
I started trying to measure the glucose, but I don't have the ketone meters.
Okay. So I'm going to have you write this down, get a Keto Mojo or some sort of ketone combination, because what I find with folks who are trying all kinds of stuff, that oftentimes it's related to the glucose. They're slow adapters in terms of burning fat. And then there's things that we can do and recommend as you monitor and see what foods and how they affect, because not everybody has the same effect from certain foods as you would expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you just a quick question about that.
Sure.
When I was doing the blood glucose, like my pre-meal is between like the high 80s, low 90s. Then when I would eat, it would go up maybe let's say like 115, but then towards the second hour, it would go up even higher before it came down. So like what is the height that it should reach in that 2 hour period that's considered safe?
Yeah, so the safe height, the safe max should be 110.
Yeah, so I'm way over that with every single thing I eat.
Yeah, so there's something else going on there, and that needs to be looked at. So I would be looking at that and tracking it over a period of time. I have people test every 15 minutes.
If you have, I was doing that, yeah.
Every 15 minutes to see when you peak, but you're saying you peak, and then you come down, and then you peak a second time.
No, it goes up, it peaks high. Sometimes I get a little dip and then it goes back up again, like within the 15-minute segments. But typically it just goes high and it stays there within the last hour before it comes down.
Oh, it stays high. Yeah. So the kinds of testing, and we'll look at your labs to see if you've done it, insulin, fasting insulin, first of all, and then postprandial insulin. So we want to see how much insulin you're producing. We're going to find out if you have a pancreatic insufficiency, right? Do you have antibodies to your insulin or antibodies to your pancreatic cells? But the first thing to do to know that would be test your insulin, fasting insulin. If that's high, then we know you've got insulin resistance for sure. If that's not high, if that's like in the 2 to 5 range, then we'd want to check you about an hour after eating. Like, where is your insulin? Is it going up dramatically? you know, or is it not going up at all, which could be causing the sugar to be going up. So that's how we identify that. And then if it's not going up much, if the postprandial doesn't go up much, then the next step would be more expensive testing, which would be in insulin antibodies and islet cell antibodies to just see if your body's producing antibodies that's getting in the way here. So it's a learning process to see what's going on there.
Okay.
Sure, frustration, taking a long time to move the scale. And then if you are working on trauma release, cortisol causes the sugar to go up.
But ironically, my cortisol is very low.
Your cortisol when you do what, like
a saliva test? A
saliva test, and it's, mm-hmm. Are you like in a flatlined stage 3 adrenal fatigue?
I mean, very low morning, it peaks very low, and then it just drops down very slowly, but it's within the same, you know, range of numbers. I'd have to look it up and see what they were, but like I should have higher in the morning and then come down as the day goes on. I don't have the high morning.
Yeah. So a couple of ways to explain that. When, and again, doing a Dutch test might be a good thing to do because it shows metabolized cortisol and the actual free cortisol that's available for you to use, as opposed to the saliva test is just testing the free cortisol throughout the day. And then it also tests cortisone, which lets you know how you're doing in terms of stored inactive cortisol. So if you're having this like need to have a high cortisol and your body does it real quick and then comes back down, it's over time leaving you depleted. So oftentimes very low levels of cortisol have been preceded by usually years or decades of high levels of cortisol. And then, you know, there's not enough raw materials to make it anymore. So a lot of things to look at. And I would say a Dutch test is probably a good thing to look at for you.
Okay.
Let's see. So you're doing standard process, systemic for image and thyroid adrenal. Okay. Would be good to have in the master tracker, which you have access to on the site. Do you know where that is?
Yes.
Download a copy of that or make a copy on your own Google Drive and just start tracking your supplements there with the amounts, because I think it's really important for us to be doing this with our clients and also with ourselves so we see exact things. A lot of times, I don't know about you, but my memory gets really fuzzy after a couple of days, right? And am I consistent? Am I actually taking what I think I'm taking? Are the doses high enough, et cetera? So it really helps to have those numbers. And when we're working with people, to get them to keep track of it as well. So there's a supplement tracker in there. Ate something for Thanksgiving weekend, back on clean eating today. Can go for months and then I give up with frustration about the weight.
Yes, that was, I eat sugar and bread over the holiday.
Sugar and bread. Okay, got it. Okay, so here's the thing with giving up and then going on bread. If you have any kind of autoimmune, which I'm suspicious about here, exposure to gluten can activate the antibodies for up to 6 months. So, you know, even occasional, people say, oh, just do it occasionally. That means you're never allowing your antibody levels and the inflammation to get back down to baseline. And I understand the frustration. I mean, it certainly is frustrating if you're doing everything you can. But I would keep really good records, get the Chronometer app, and that's going to give you exactly, you know, so you know your macros, you know your micros, you know what you need. And then do the glucose and the ketone tracking. So they're really good tracking. Whenever there's somebody like this, like, you know, for the most part, people will go on what you're doing and like, oh, yeah, I'm great. I'm good, you know. And then you've got the people who don't, right? And that's where the really careful detective work is important. Pertinent lab findings. Let's see. Toxic extracellular detox. Severe reaction to the toxins released. Discovered that I do. Wow. So you've got a lot of that, and you plus the mercury that you got out not too long ago. Have you looked at your genes in terms of your liver detox SNPs?
Which ones?
There's phase ones. There's a whole bunch of them in there, like CYP1B1, 1A2, 2C9, et cetera, et cetera. It just gives you an idea of your detox capacity. You just may have genetically, you know, with the homozygous MTHFR on top of some of the other pathways in the liver being broken down. If you have your liver, I mean, if you have your 23andMe report or whatever you used, go to a company called geneticdetoxification.com and upload your raw data there, because I love the way that report is organized. It's actually okay. Got sections of liver detox, acetylation, liver detox, methylation, liver detox phase one, and it's got it all broken down. And then they have a book. When you get the test, it'll tell you about the book. You can buy the book on Amazon. I don't have mine handy or I would show it to you, but it basically, on the report, it'll say, this is in detail on pages 23 to 27. And then you can read more about any of your homozygous SNPs first and then any heterozygous that may play in.
Okay.
Right. So the frustration, maybe just coming from a body that's genetically sluggish at detoxing. And when you're sluggish at detoxing, your liver is brilliant. Oh, fat. This thing can get stored in fat. Let me make more fat and throw these toxins in to protect the brain and the bones and everything else. Right. And then you're frustrated and your patients, clients, whoever you're working with are going to be frustrated beyond belief because you're doing all the right things, but your body is still storing fat. So we need to figure out what all those pieces are and then get beyond it. Okay.
Yeah.
So exercise twice a week. So more moderate exercise now, outdoors, time in the sun. I mean, you know, you've got a lot of good stuff in here. Drinking greens twice a week. You might want to be, you know, looking at more more greenery in your diet because of the antioxidants, unless you have oxalate sensitivities or any of these other things. Alcohol never, you know, so you've got really good habits. Soft drinks, no sugar except over Thanksgiving. Eating out. When you eat out, are you careful when you eat out or you just do whatever?
No, I'm very careful, and I'm always like, no sauce, no gluten, no dairy, no this.
Doing a lot of stuff, and this is what we're going to see with our really challenging patients, and this is why I want you guys to learn this stuff, because these are the people like, I don't know what to do, right? So step by step, so far, and we'll look at the labs in a sec, but so far it's looking at getting a ketone glucose meter, tracking glucose ketones really carefully, putting everything into the chronometer so you're actually accurate in what you're portraying. Because sometimes, you know, you're going to see this with people. I'm not eating much. And then you add up their stuff on chronometer and you're like, well, you're eating twice as much as what you're burning, right? So that's good to know. The macro ratios may be really super important. We just did this fasting with food type of a challenge on Facebook. I don't know if you followed that at all. But
no.
I would go to fastingandfood.com and sign up for it. You can still get the free guide for it. But we had some amazing results with people who had been stuck for a long time, and it's particular macro ratios that have been studied to mimic the effects of fasting without actually having to fast. You do it for 5 days and you can start doing it 5 days a month. But let's see if something like that actually helps you as well.
Okay.
All right, so let's look at your labs. Which ones do I have open? I have, all right, so here's the thing. If you guys are going to come to these calls with me, I hate reading labs that are not in the master tracker. So I'm going to show you real quick how to put them in the master tracker. I can quickly look at these labs in a master tracker because I know I don't have memorized all of my ideal ranges. So some of this stuff, I can tell by looking at some of it, I can't. So anyway, I'm going to show you guys real quick. We go to Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology. We go to resources, NEPT resources, master tracker. You open that up. And this looks like it's right here. So you click this link and it's going to open the master. You cannot edit this one. So what you're going to do is then say, do you have a Google account, a Google Drive account?
Yes.
Okay. So then you're going to just say, make a copy. And then you're going to find your drive. Like I have it here, but everybody has a My Drive. My Drive. And I recommend if you are working with clients that you create a folder for each of your clients and you copy, make a copy into theirs. So you're going to click My Drive and you're going to say Select. And you're going to say Lori's Master Health Tracker. You're going to put it there. So I'll just say Lori's. Lori's Master Health Tracker. We can take off the word template. And then you just say, okay. So now I have a copy of yours in my folder. I can always go back and delete it. But as it's doing that, it's waiting. And it should make a copy. It's a big file. It's a spreadsheet with like 12 or 15 or 18 different tabs in it. But that's what it looks like. So as we go here, I'm going to find, you can either find it here or on this list, the lab, lab results, US. And then you'll just go through and put the date up here, whatever that date was. Let's see. It says this is 12/21/19. So it's a very recent lab.
That was 10/21.
Oh, 10/21. Okay, so it's a month old. Big deal. Right, close. Where did I put it? I can't find it now. It opened it somewhere. Here we go. Is this yours? No, that's my template. I'm going to close it so I don't accidentally write in it, but here we are. So you're just going to put a date up here, 10/21/19. I'm going to move this over here by your other labs. And then we just go through here. We go, okay, there's your CBC. Let's just see if you have your glucose numbers in here. There we go. So glucose is 70. Wow, that's a really good fasting glucose, right? So I want to know what your hemoglobin A1C is. So I put in 70. It's going to turn green. And it takes a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds, whatever, the first time. And then it goes in quickly. We're going to go back here. So we're looking at some of these others. NIN gap, high because of the one's high, one's low, probably because the others look okay. Let me see. You get the idea, right? So you put these numbers in, and then the beauty of it is you're going to be able to at a glance see anything that's outside the lab range and anything that's outside of the ideal range. They'll be yellow. Let's just throw a number in here. I'm going to say, what's the number? 3.2, 3.1. That's yellow because it's outside the ideal range. And here we're going to put in 22, and that's orange. It's outside the lab range, right? So you can at a glance be able to see, whoa, here's some stuff I have to pay attention to, even before you really understand what all these things might mean. And then over to the side, on the far end side, why is that not going? There it is. I have a little blurb on what it might mean if it's high, what it might mean if it's low, and what kind of follow-up you'd do. So what I usually do is if it's yellow, I just fill in that box with a yellow. I might fill in this box with a red, an orange. And then I go through my whole lab report, and then I can see, ooh, is there a pattern? Wow, there's four of these in yellow that are actually related to a particular condition, malabsorption, let's say. So it just starts to give you, as you're learning how to go through these labs, it gives you a way to do that. So for you, this is a great way to learn when you guys are, whoops, that's not what I meant to do. we'll just take this out. It gives you guys a great way to learn what as you work on yourselves. There you go. So every time you put your own thing in here, you're going to learn like a little bit about yourself, but a little bit about what these things mean. So for now, because I don't have time to put all your stuff in there, Lori, I'm going to give you that homework to fill that in, right? And if you have old labs, especially if you have something from before you did your thyroid, before you went off your thyroid med, let's look at that. I'm just looking at a glance. I don't see anything, any red flags here until we get to homocysteine, 18.5, very high. All right. So you're taking methylated B vitamins. Are you how long have you been taking those?
Just about a week.
Okay. So this, you weren't taking them then, right? So the other one to consider is B6, but given you have a homozygous MTHFR, the folate, the B12 are important. Here's a rule of thumb. Never supplement somebody with folic acid or folate unless you're also supplementing them with B12, because the folate can mask a B12 deficiency in terms of the megaloblastic anemia, and they can be developing neurologic symptoms at the same time. So don't ever just give somebody a folate supplementation unless you also give them B12. You just don't want to get into that mess. So homocysteine, generally it's B6, B12, folate. So usually if I see it high, they're all really cheap. I would also give the B6 as well, unless it's really clear that it's probably something else. Your cholesterol's through the roof. Your LDL is through the roof. Where's your HDL? HDL is actually good. Your triglycerides are decent. They're just a little bit above your cholesterol. So you might want to do this might be related to the thyroid. And that's, again, look at your old lab before you went off your thyroid medication to see if your thyroid was normal and your cholesterols were normal, but definitely can be related. But also, okay, you did do a VDL. Yeah, there's an advanced lipid panel that you may want to be looking at to look at your particle sizes. And let's see if you did C-reactive protein is something else you'd want to be looking at. But given that your homocysteine is high, your risk with cardiovascular is high, right? So that's something that really needs to be addressed. You do probably have some histamine reactions. Let's see. Whoa! Okay. And this was on thyroid supplements that you were taking supplements for it. It's clearly not working. And I would highly recommend that you go back and get back on the thyroid medication until you can figure this out. I don't say that lightly. If it was, you know, 9, I may say, you know, we can take a wait and see approach. I would not. And then do this again and see if your cholesterol numbers get back into range.
And what would you recommend going on? Because I was on Synthroid and the NRT, like, it didn't agree with my body.
Yeah, I don't recommend Synthroid. I mean, some people have to do it, but here's what I'm looking here. So your free T3 is super low. Your free T4 is also low. It's hard to tell if there's a conversion issue. Everything's low, right? I would want to see a full thyroid panel. And the full thyroid panel would include total T4 and free T3 and free T4, as well as antibodies. Okay, here we go. You have thyroid peroxidase is less than 4, so it's really essentially negative. But did you do thyroglobulin is less than 12? Usually thyroglobulin less than, this one, you know, it's hard to tell because they do a less than, they don't give you an absolute. So that could be 0, it could be 1, or it could be 11. But there's no clear sign that an autoimmune thyroid is part of this. In fact, it's leaning towards it's not. So you want to understand, why is this thyroid not functioning properly, right? Is it an iodine deficiency? Is it a deficiency of some of the other nutrients? Is your thyroid actually producing anything? So before you go on it, I would actually want to see what your total T4 is. My guess is it's super, super low. The Dutch test, which we talked about earlier, has a ratio between the estriol and estrone, I believe. But if your estriol is super low and your estrogen, there's a quotient that's super low, then you might have an iodine deficiency because iodine's important there. In any case, I would certainly look at an iodine load test to see. And you can get that through Hakala Lab. You're in New York, so you should be able to get it through Hakala. California, for some reason, they're not able to do. Hakala Lab will send you a 50 milligram iodine, iodorol capsule or tablet. And they have you do a a baseline, and then you load with that, and then you do 24 hours of urine after that. I would also be looking at the one with the full, their full panel, which is the pre and then the post with all the halides, because we want to see if there's something in your system. You mentioned heavy metals and exposures, and it could be chlorine, it could be bromine, it could be fluoride.
Could you spell the name of that lab?
H-A-K-A-L-A. Okay, but I, in this particular situation, we don't even know how much over 150 it is.
Right.
Because it's a it could be 300. I would go and talk to them about, I would say see Trinatrothroid or Armor. Armor, there have been iffy reports lately on Armor. Natrothroid, or what's the other one? Somebody help me here. There's a couple of other natural. Somebody may know of it. Natrothroid is one to look into. But I think this needs to be addressed. Now, there are supplements, right? And maybe you've been doing muscle testing and certain supplements are, you know, testing yes or no. I'd love to hear what your standard process, is that what you're on? Standard process thyroid?
Yeah, I'm on GF thyroid and I'm also on thyroid gold.
Okay, and those have tissue in it, desiccated thyroid tissue in it?
Yes.
Yeah, the thing about those is it's really, there's no way to know if there's actual tissue and if there's actual T3, T4. I would be looking at kelp supplementation, but I would do the iodine first. Kelp, the reason for kelp, yes, it has iodine, but it also has some of the iodine in there is in preformed thyroid hormone like mono and di iodothyronoid, so T1 and T2. So that's something to look at, but I would do your iodine load test first. And are you in menopause?
I went through it already, so post.
So this is post, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, progesterone is super, super low, right? Regardless of where you're at, even postmenopausal, it's super, super low. It's 0.22 and the menopausal range, you know, it's low. Compared to your estrogen, 26, which is at the higher end of the postmenopausal range and is even at, you know, it's within range for follicular phase. It's a little below range for luteal phase, which is going to be higher. So your ratio, your progesterone estrogen ratio is way off. I would highly recommend the Dutch. And then there may be, you know, some progesterone supplementation or Vitex or whatever based on what shows up there. Do you take any bioidenticals?
No.
Good. Don't do it until you get a Dutch. Because I don't want to see, and again, I don't know what your genes are, but the CYP1B1, and then there's several others that are related to estrogen metabolism. And given you have trouble detoxing in general, all these chemicals, you probably have trouble detoxing estrogen as well. So, it might be that progesterone is going to help you there. And given you had fibroids, you know, low progesterone, high estrogen. Testosterone. Okay. Again, you know, I don't know all the ideal ranges, but not seeing anything else. So you do have an EBV titer and you had mono, you said years ago, right? And we don't know if this is active or not, but it's a really good book if you want to check it out. A friend of mine wrote it. She's brilliant with it. Her name is Kasia Kine, K-A-S-I-A-K-I-N-E. You can get it on Amazon. It's a big book all about EBD. A lot of it is diet. A lot of it is herbs, supplementation. But she's probably got the most thorough book on EBD that I've seen. You also have cytomegalovirus. So you definitely this immune stuff that you had when you were a kid has carried forward into adult life. Immunology. rheumatoid factor. So none of this is, you know, the gluten, the gliadin deamidated is a little bit on the high side. Oh, wait, which one was it? No, wait, sorry, I looked at that wrong. Yeah, they all look within range. It's not the most thorough. Plus, you've been off of gluten, so you just generally don't see them elevated when you do. Serum zinc. B6 is high. Interesting. I see high B6 in MTHFR. Homozygous MTHFR is a fair amount. And there was a mechanism I read about it that kind of sort of explained it. Now I don't remember exactly what that is. But you're probably, with that high homocysteine, it's most likely more related to the B12 folate than it would be. And again, looking at your genes, MTRRs and a few other B12 markers would be good to look at as well. So your folate is clearly low. So, you know, that's obvious. Your D is on the high side. So you might want to just cut back a little bit. Don't stop it, but cut back a little bit. I'm not concerned about that being on the high side. Okay, where is, I missed the first page. That's the CDC. Red blood cells, white blood cells, hemoglobin, hematocrit. Yeah. MCV. So this is another marker of B12 and folate. So you've got multiple markers of B12 and folate, 91. They have it within range, but ideally it should be 89 or below. And your RDW is super high. So I don't see iron in here, but you may have a superimposed iron deficiency anemia with the B12, because I usually don't see that high. Oh, wait.
There's different. Another page.
Never mind. This is not that much. This is high. This should be 13 or below.
Because my ferritin is very high and my folate is low.
Your ferritin is high and your iron is low, you mean? Or
yeah, there's like another page. I think it might be on that other report.
Okay, a bunch more. All right. So put these numbers in your tracker. That's going to help a lot. When ferritin is high and iron is low, that's generally a liver issue, liver congestion. It's not being converted properly. And it's just all being stored. Okay, so, yeah. All right. There was one other page, right? I thought you had three labs. There's your ferritin. Yeah. Super high. Okay, so I would be looking at your genes to see if you have the hemochromatosis. That report is going to really help you to make sense of your genes. It's geneticdetoxification.com. This looks, is this a different date? No. This looks like a repeat of the same one. All right, how did I do that?
What happened was she couldn't get the blood out of my arm, so she had to draw it on two different days.
Oh, huh. But it looks like it ran twice. Okay, so file one, I'm just opening it up, this file. This is the one we just looked at. And this is file two, which looks this pretty much the same. And this is number three. Let's see. So this is a two I had open. Okay. Wow, a whole timeline. These are great when you can get people to give you a whole timeline. Glutathione, MTHFR, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. New York doesn't allow for gut testing. Do you live near Connecticut? Here's the thing. Do you know anybody that lives in Connecticut? With stool testing, you don't have to go to a lab and get it drawn. So you don't have to actually go there. So see if you have somebody whose address you can use, because they don't actually send it to your physical address anyway. They just send it to your thing. So put in somebody else's address and you can get anything like that done. Blood draws, you have to actually go to the other state. Okay. But I would say your top priorities right now, I would say do the Dutch test, do the iodine load test, those two. And then start testing ketones and glucose and putting your stuff into the chronometer, and that'll give you more information. Okay? Yeah.
Okay, I'm just trying to keep the volume off.
I understand. So that's your direction. I would do that, and then we can revisit this later when you have more of that information. All right?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lori. All right. So Patty, did you email me that? I'm going to look.
Yes, I did, and it was just emailed to me yesterday.
All right. Great news. Your lab results from Dutch are complete. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she hasn't stored it yet somewhere, but I didn't. Let me see if I heard back from her to say where she has it online. Nope. All right. I'm going to save this and then open it. Let me see. Well, let me just open it here and then I'll switch my screen share. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to save it. And then I'm going to put it up on the Google Drive so I can have everything in one, like I was switching back and forth with Lori. So give me a second. I'm going to say save. Oh, save to the cloud. Does it let me go to Google? Ah, no, Adobe Document Cloud. That's not it. Okay, let me go this way. Save. All right, let's see. Okay, I'll just put it in NEPT case studies. And I will make a new folder and I'll call it Patty. I want to do this. Okay, Patty. All right. My computer's doing that little spin thing. All I'm asking it to do is save the file, please. It's just easier if I can go back and forth between your history and the other on the same. And I'm going to make sure that Angelica knows for future reference to save these. Okay. All right, let's see. Okay, hopefully I don't have to reboot. Close my Thunderbird. So I have to reopen my email server. And nope. Okay. Coaching. All right, so if I say save, hopefully it saves it. All right. Folders, NEPT case study calls. Oh, look at that. Wow. All right, I'm just going to put it right there. And now I'm going to upload it to the Google. So I'm going to just find it the proper place to put it. Okay, so NAPT. I'm going to put a new folder in there. I'm going to call it NAPT cases. Okay. Create. There, and then I'll say new file upload. Sorry, it's like 14 steps. I'll make sure that we have the procedures set up in the background to have this happening properly for future calls. Let's see, NAPT case study calls, Patty, upload. So is that helpful for everybody to go through that case with Lori? Did you guys learn something?
Absolutely.
Absolutely good. All right. So let's go to my inbox. Let's go here. I'm going to just take yours and put it into a file folder as well. Cases and uploaders for upcoming calls. This is Patty. Are the both that you filled out the same information? It looks like you filled it out twice. Give permission. This one, broken ankle. Da, 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 da. You have two of them, one on the 25th and one on the 2nd. Oh, that's just an RSVP. Got it. All right. So I am going to just copy paste all of this into a file folder. Control C. And then we're going to go here. New Google Doc. All right. So, can you see my screen? Yes. I'm move this to my second screen. Hopefully, this is Patty's. Good. All right. You ready, Patty?
I think so. Bless your heart. Thank you for your help.
Sorry, it took so long, but okay. So this is for you, right?
That's correct.
So 52, 5'2", 106. So it sounds like weight is not an issue for you. You're married, two children. Okay. So top health concern, vaginal dryness or dry skin, gassy, bloating at night. So if this was, you know, a client that you have coming in, right, you'd want to find out about each of these complaints. When did it start? How long has it been going on? Is it progressively getting better or worse? And for each of these, so how long is the vaginal dryness? How long is the dry skin? And you want to ask, she's 52, so she might be, have had a, no more periods. Yeah. So I would also ask, when was your last period?
Yeah, I've been postmenopause for over probably a year and a half.
Okay. So she's definitely postmenopausal. You should always want to ask women, you know, unless they're clearly like 80 years old, right? But when was your last period? Some people, I have a friend who stopped periods. She's like a year older than me, and she just stopped her periods like a year and a half ago.
Wow.
Right? So, yeah. And others are in their 40s and stopped their periods a year and a half ago. So it's a really important question to ask. Okay. And then I would ask about the vaginal dryness. Did it start before your periods ended? Is that a problem before menopause or has that come on since?
Yeah, I think it happened post, you know, after I was completely through. Well, I don't, I'm still kind of knowing, I guess I'm done, you know, but it seems like it's gotten worse over the past year and a half.
Okay. Dry skin?
Yeah, I've had that for a long time, actually, as you asked me those questions. That's great stuff to ask because I've had dry skin, well, especially in the wintertime. We're here now. I grew up in Florida, but now that I've been up north, I've had dry skin for quite a while.
Okay. So what we want to do is for each of their symptoms, and you'll learn this in module, whatever it is, 3 or 4, it's the history taking module. And actually, I think you have a lot of the stuff from the history taking module might be on the disc that you got at Shine. So it's worthwhile to download those and start looking. But how to ask a history, how to find out all the things. So you want to know, when did it start? How long has it been going on? How severe? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Are there particular conditions? Like for this, vaginal dryness is probably there all the time. But if it's something like, you know, dry skin, you mentioned it's worse in the winter, right? If it's something like a pain, you want to know how often it's there. So there's a whole lot of questions that you'll learn exactly how to do. This is such a critical part of working with people. Critical. And it's overlooked by lots. They just go, oh, you have these symptoms, here's some nutrients. That's not what we want to know why, right? And we want to really ask. And in the master tracker, which I think I still have the one that I did for Lori open. In the master tracker, there's some really cool places to keep track of all this stuff. So under current conditions and goals, we have past, present, and future. And under the present, you can put in, whoops, that's past still. Present, you can put in their symptoms. What happened to this? This used to say symptoms, severity. Something screwy with the master tracker. Let me just see if it's still working. So vaginal. And it's supposed to say onset, I think. I would say, so we're in November. So let's just say 1/2017. Just making it up. Okay, and then this is supposed to be severity and priority. So severity, how bad is it? How bad is it on a scale of 0 to 10? 10 being bad and 0 being none. Where would you put it?
8.
Okay, so it's pretty high. And how high a priority is it to you to get solved? High, medium, or low?
That's interesting. Probably high.
Okay. So then if you look at this next one, which is health timeline, it will transfer everything you put on that onto this. So I'm going to just go, yeah, we're going to have to get that fixed because the master is broken. So then you're going to say, okay, when did it start? Well, you said at menopause, getting worse. Okay. Sorry, this is Lori's, but she's not going to get it anyway. It's just sitting on my drive. Then you want to go, well, what happened right before it? Like, this is something, you know, it's clearly it's menopause, blah, blah, blah. But if it was something like joint pain, what was happening in the years before it? You know, what are the details? Where, how often, blah, blah, blah. And then you have these columns to put dates. So as you're doing a history with somebody, you can say, well, it started in 2005 after a fall, right? And you can write about that, you know, started like within a week after the fall. And in 2007, I started taking ginger and turmeric and it started to get better. But then in 2018, I had a car accident and it got worse, or my mother died and it got worse. So you can actually keep a really nice historical thing, similar, well, Lori did it, you know, in just a long narrative, but you can actually be able to see what's happening with their symptoms and seeing if you can make connections. And sometimes, like one person said, we started talking and she goes, I had no idea it was related to when I was 8 years old and my parents were whatever. And I went to live with my aunt and I had no idea that that might be connected. And then we're going, oh, there was this emotional trauma that might've contributed. So this is a great thing. And I would recommend for each of you, for your own stuff, is to fill out these forms. You know, do this current health condition, do the timelines. Then on health and obstacles, right? What are some health supporting habits? Like Lori, you know, she sleeps 8 hours a day and she eats gluten-free, dairy-free, blah, 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 right? And she exercises, but maybe stress is high. So that would be a health depleting habit, right? So you can fill this out and get a sense. And then I have a column called implementation challenges. So I've been trying to meditate, but my mind wanders, or I've been trying to do whatever and, you know, exercise, but it's cold in the morning and I have 3 kids and it doesn't work real well. So you can actually get lots of information. So if you're going to come up with this great plan and you're going to tell them to do something they've already tried 15 times and they've been having issues with, you're going to lose some respect for them. But if you get this information down, you're going to be able to say, look, I know you've been struggling with meditation because it's a, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do 1 minute a day of meditation. Can you do that? I just want you to sit in a chair and hold your hands over your heart and breathe deeply for a minute. You think you can do that as a start? You know, they're going to respect you more than say, okay, I want you to meditate for a half an hour in the morning and a half an hour at night. And they're like, what are you, wacky lady? I already tried that. Don't work for me. You know what I mean? So you can actually use these, and I highly recommend that you all use this form and just do it for yourself. And then pick a family member, pick one of your kids, your husband, your, you know, nephew, whatever, and then do it for them and get used to using these kinds of things. And it's a framework for all the good information you're going to need to help folks. Make sense?
Yes. Very good.
Okay. So since we're doing a mini version, this is a case study. I don't have an hour and a half, which I normally would like to start with when I work with people. I'm just going to go through this with you. No, that's Lori's. Where did yours go? That's Lori's. I have it open twice. Okay. I'll get rid of that. Let me see if I can find yours. Here we go. No, that's Lori's. Lori, you're all over my screen. There we go. Right? So same thing with dry skin. We want to know, is it an exposure? Did you move from a humid environment, which was Florida, to a dry northern climate where you're using artificial heat throughout the winter and your skin gets dry? Or is it a fatty acid deficiency? Right? Is there something there? So those are the kinds of things you want to be looking at. If it's purely, you know, an environment, you got this hot, warm air, dry air blowing on you, or do you have a constitutional dryness? Are there other things that are dry? Well, vaginal dryness, okay. That's a common symptom in menopause. Dry skin. What else is dry? Do you have your mouth? Does your mouth get dry? Yes. Right? Do you have a trouble with saliva? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What about your eyes? Do you find that your eyes get dry? And so,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. So see what one symptom, mm-hmm. you're asking what else relates. So I'm going, I doubt it's the heat in your new climate. You're just in a better place down in Florida because you had humidity and it kept your skin nice and moist. But I doubt that's it. So we're going to be looking for, is there a fatty acid deficiency, right? Do you tend to have that dry constitution in Chinese medicine, and what else goes with that? Gassy and bloaty at night, right? Is it just at night? Is it worse at night but there during the day? These are the kind of questions you want to be asking. So what's the answer to that one?
It varies, yeah. It does vary. Some of it has to do, of course, with stress, the hecticness of my day. And I know there's probably some, even though I've been eating a lot of greens and things, maybe not getting enough water, because I'm maybe dry in there. I think I have a sluggish, if I'm going to follow your thing. I think that, because I'm very thirsty even at night, and I can drink all day long and still be thirsty.
So are you actually getting that water into your cells, right? You hydrating properly? So these are all the kinds of questions, simple things, and you end up with so much information when you ask the right questions, right? So gassy, bloaty, and dry skin. Well, is there a dryness in the body, right? Is there constipation? Is it hard to move your bowels? How often are you moving your bowels?
I've been very fortunate with that for the most part, but other times it's a little bit harder, but sure. Pretty consistent with, you know, being normal. But there are times when it's not.
When you say, when somebody says to me, it's worse when I had a stressful day. Now, when you've had a stressful day, are you sitting down and bolting your food down, or are you chewing it? So gassy and bloaty can be related to not chewing your food properly, right? If it's a certain time of day consistently, you say at night, but again, right, I asked you, right? Don't just take what people say at face value. And you said, well, there's other times. Okay, let's see if we can find a connection between the times when you're gassy and bloaty and times when you're not. Oh, you know, whenever I have the kids are off to the babysitter and I'm sitting around, you know, having a nice slow meal with my husband and blah, 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 chewing well, I don't get gas. Oh, let me know. Maybe there's some environmental stuff, some stress stuff, some lack of chewing, right? Or if it's always at night, then I want to know, okay, what are you eating at night, right? What's different between what you're eating at night during what you're eating the day? How often are you eating? Are you allowing the migrating motor complex to jump in, which is the movement? Or, you know, night is, it's worse because by then you've had three meals build up and you're not doing them separate, or five meals, which a lot of people do. And now there's just not enough action with the migrating motor complex, which requires like 3.5 hours between meals to actually engage. Anyway, so those are kinds of things that all that from three little symptoms you just mentioned,
yeah,
right?
A lot. Yes.
It's a lot of information, and don't feel like you need to rush through this stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. And even if you don't get through everything on a first visit with somebody, you can get through as much as you can get going. What I'm sensing now is that there's some dryness going on. And if they did say that they are drinking a lot, then you might look at, something like the fats, right? Are they getting enough omega-3 fats? And if they are, then you might say, you know what? You just might be not getting it into your cells. And there is this homeopathic rehydration drops that you can try that will help to do it. And there's other products like that. Let's get you to do A, B, and C now. We'll finish this on our next visit, right? We'll go in more depth. But right now, what I'm seeing are these three things that you can get started with. Right. So don't feel like you have to rush through. Sometimes it takes me 2 or 3 visits with somebody to really get the full history. Right. Because you want to be able to help them not to rush through.
That's right.
Right. They can get rushed through if they want. Just make an appointment with any local MD and that's what they'll get. Oh, you have this. Go. Goodbye. Right. Come back in 3 months and let me know if it works. Right. Whereas you're going to go through and really get to know them and explain. I want to know. I want to really know. Does this make sense?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So surgeries, you've had a broken ankle at age 14, molars removed at 16. Was it crowding or were they infected?
That's what they said. Crowding. They said it was crowding.
Mm-hmm. Now, some folks think that that jaw being too small to hold all our wisdom teeth has to do with generations prior of malnutrition or your mom not being well nourished while she was holding you, and then your structure didn't get to develop fully. So those are all things you want to look at. What was mom's diet like in utero? Was mom under a lot of stress when you were in utero? Was she smoking cigarettes? Mine, you know, was she eating crap? You know, so those are kinds of things that might be a tip off, right? Mono. Okay. So do we still have that EBV virus hanging out there? Melanoma at age 22, that's young to have a melanoma removed. So I'm thinking immune system, what was wrong with her immune surveillance or major exposures, right? Like what things, vitamin D deficiency, junk food, et cetera, et cetera. So those are kind of things. So those are clues that there's been an immune issue going on for a long time. Mono at 17, melanoma at 22, tonsillectomy at 16. And then on top of that, there's a lot of assault to the immune system when you have to go in and take out the tonsils, right? The surgery of digging in and having a melanoma removed. They usually don't just pull it out. There's usually a big area around it. And there's some, you know, trauma. Appendectomy, 27. So, and chickenpox at 26. So you've had a lot of removal of some of your immune system, right? DNC from miscarriage, inducement and second child due to sciatic issues and renal. So you've had a lot going on, right? You've had immune system from early on. So that's really important to look at prenatal and early childhood nutrition, potential of allergies that were undiagnosed, you know, dairy intake, which produces a lot of mucus, which affects the immune system.
I also failed to mention after I heard Lori, but I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 8 mercury fillings in my mouth too, from early on after they, you know, they put those in there. I've had 4 removed, but I could not find, not here in this little town, could I find a doctor? What do you call them for the dentist?
Oh, yeah, a biological dentist.
Yeah, there were none here. And he just basically drilled in my mouth, took it out, just put the light in, and I still have 2 more to go.
Did he wear a mask?
There. So I was thinking, I still might have metal flowing through my body. So.
Oh, yeah. Right? And that's another assault on your immune system, mm-hmm. right? That heavy metal exposure. And the fact that you had teeth that fell apart early on, right? That's an issue. Like, I had all my teeth refilled by the time I was 18. You know, do you think it had something to do with the Kool-Aid and Ronzoni pasta diet that I was on? Could be, right? It could be. So these are all the things you want to look at. So right now what I'm seeing is your immune system, and you mentioned Hashimoto. So I'm thinking, you've got an immune. You really have to focus on that immune system. Okay. One of the things you all have access to right away in the program, hopefully, and if you don't, let me know. But on the Unstoppable Health site, which you were given the URL, and your same user ID and password works, I've got all the programs I put together for clients. And there is one that's on the immune system. It's called SHIELD. I don't know, Scientific and Holistic Investigation of the Immune System or something like that. I had somebody working for me years ago who loved acronyms, and she would make up acronyms for programs, and then I couldn't even figure out what the heck. Well, I don't know what that program is. It's called SHIELD. Whatever it stands for, it is. But that has a lot of information about supporting the immune system. There's a module on infectious disease, which you've had some. There's a module on autoimmune. There's a module on herbs and essential oils, and there's a module on food. So it'd be a really good one to go through relatively quick. You know, it's maybe 3 hours total, geared for the layperson, so easy to understand, and has actionable items for you. So for me, I'm noticing immune system needs to be supported here. Okay. And of course, hormonal, right? So the dryness, right? Getting hydration, rehydration drops might be helpful. Look at your EFA status for the dry stuff. And then the vaginal dryness, couple of things. So there's, let me continue because you are using Jolva. I was going to say, so there's some creams and stuff you could do. Sweet spot helped me to lose weight and helped to decrease a bit more night sweats. Okay, so you did have a weight problem, but you don't anymore.
And you know, it wasn't a weight problem. It was just, I was gaining. I felt like a Pillsbury boy. I mean, it would just, and my husband, you know, he was trying to be polite, but I'm like, what is wrong with it? Just every morning I wake up, it seems like the fat is in a different position. And I'd never experienced that before. But then I think once we got the sugars under the way, I had to drop the carbs, all of that. And, you know, I work out 5 days a week. So early in the morning, and I've tried to work, you know, with your system. And that over time helps. I started with Dr. Kabeka's last year, and then with yours this year. And it seemed like my body's wanting to sort of start leveling back out again.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just got the Dutch. So we'll look at your Dutch in a second and see. All right. So let's move on, because I got to check my timing, and I could spend 2 hours on each of these, and we don't have it. So what time is my next appointment? Okay, we're good. We can do another 15-20 minutes. All right, so we'll go through the Dutch test. Let me just quickly, I'm trying to like make this really educational, but there's a lot of these cases that are on the site. If you just go back, and maybe even once or twice a week, you just pick one and watch some of these cases, you'll just learn a lot, and it'll be repetition. Various ones have different labs on them. So, you know, the fact that there's Hashimoto's, all this stuff. So you've got a lot of stress. You've got a lot of overwhelm. What was your vitamin D on your lab?
I was trying to find the other one, but it was low. I will look for you while you keep doing that. I had it here. It was 56.5. In June of this year.
Okay. So you need a little bit of support, you know, not much. When you say avoid dairy as much as possible, what does that mean?
I still like my yogurt. So maybe once a week, I kind of missed having that cream. I love cream, being French. I love the cream. So I've tried to find other ways, like through Greek yogurt.
Greek yogurt is no better than any yogurt. Coconut yogurt, make your own cashew coconut yogurt. But I would recommend, given what I'm seeing here, that you just 100%, at least for 6 months, get off the dairy.
Yeah.
and see how you feel. Laundry sheets, so some of the toxic exposures, you want to look at those toxic exposures and see what you can replace. You've got some samples at Shine of those, the non-toxic laundry stuff, and they have a little dryer angel you can get instead of the laundry sheets, you know, so I would look at all of that. That was from My Green Fills.
I don't think I got one of those, but I'll look for them. So My Green Fills.
Really? Should have been in the bag. Maybe it was last year I'm thinking of. But My Green Fills has
a lot. Yeah, I'm actually using vinegar and a little cotton cloth as our dryer sheets now. So I'll dip it in the vinegar and then throw it in.
Oh, okay, cool. So let's look at, just look here specifically if there's anything. No alcohol, no caffeine. That's good. No soft drinks. So you've got good habits. I would go for the dairy and try on the eggs as well. You know, at least go off the eggs for a month and then try them again and see if they work, even though it's just once a week. Once a week makes a difference if you have an allergic response and if you have immune system compromise. So let's look at where did I put it?
There was a lot on there, and I thought it would be helpful for everyone because I didn't know really how to read it or look at it since it's my first time.
Oh, you're Dutch. Yeah. Dutches take over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. Okay, so let's, yeah. And you learn something new every single time. I learn something new every time I go through it. All right. So you are clearly in menopause year. Low E2, low progesterone. All right. Low end of the menopausal range on the E2, kind of middle of the, so it's definitely menopause. Testosterone is not terrible, but it could be better. Your adrenals. Okay. So you've got a high cortisol first thing in the morning. You've got a, you know, still higher than I'd like to see it at noon. And it's still high. So you're basically in a kind of a stage one type of adrenal situation where it's high, everything's high. But what we want to look at, if you look at the free cortisol, right, you see the number is in the red, right? So your total cortisol production is high. Your DHEA is a lot lower, right? So you are definitely burning out your adrenals, but the metabolized is a little bit lower. So this is how much you are making and then eliminating. So there's a couple of things. You could have an issue with the pathway to take the free cortisol and metabolize it and get rid of it. Or, which is more likely, there are things that are calling you to be stressed. There are stressful events. And while you still have reserve, your body's going, heck, this might have been what you looked like, Lori, a few years back before you went into, and we don't want you down into the state where Lori said she is, where everything is low, right? But it's a matter of time if you keep this up. So you need to be looking at what can you do? Like I said earlier, meditation, heart math, what is it that you do for calming things down? And to be able to do it, not just first thing in the morning and not just last thing at night, but the 3 to 5 minutes of parasympathetic stimulation throughout your day, right? Making sure that you're breathing and slowing down before you eat. And making sure that you're doing some of that stuff. Great book, Access the Healing Power of the Vagus Nerve. Love that book. And then things that help with stimulate the vagus nerve. I showed one of them on stage at Shine. You know, go back to your notes from there. Castor oil packs can be super helpful for getting you into parasympathetic. I'm going to be doing on Thursday. I just talked to a friend of mine who's a naturopath and she's big into castor oil packs. And she said, oh, I'll come into your group that you just did the fasting thing with and let's talk to them. So she's going to come in on this Thursday at 7 p.m. and she's going to do a Facebook Live and we're going to talk castor oil packs and how it affects the sympathetic parasympathetic balance. When I'm reading these, I usually skip these pages unless I have to go back and reference the exact numbers. I'm a picture kind of gal. So if we look at progesterone, you know, it's lowish, right? It's within a menopausal range. It's not below that, but you know, it's kind of low. If we look at your estrogens, just your rule of thumb, we want estriol Estriol is the lowest. Actually, they're close, but estriol is really low. We want estriol to be equal to or greater than the sum of estrone and estradiol. And yours is clearly lower. So for the estriol, that having that low will affect the vaginal dryness the most. That's what affects the vaginal mucosa. Jolva, I think, has a little bit in there. Have you noticed a difference with doing the Jolva?
Very little bit.
Very little bit. Yeah. Are you doing it twice a day at the recommended dosing?
Yes.
Okay.
I should say mostly in the evening or sometimes in the morning, like after you shower, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would do it twice a day like she recommends, the pea-sized piece. And then there's this company called Biomatrix. And you can temporarily, if you want to, get these supplements and supplement your progesterone and estriol. They have one called Estadapt. I don't have it here, but this is called ProAdapt. And they have one called Estadapt. And you can do them topically and apply to the vulva area because the mucous membranes will tend to absorb them better and bring up that and see if that makes a difference in the vaginal dryness. Right. Now, if you are low in iodine, then that will make this ratio low as well. Because iodine is a cofactor that will help you convert from estradiol into estriol. Right. So iodine comes into this pathway right here. Also, if you look at your genes, and since you have yours, Lori, you know, and we talked about the iodine as well for you, CYP3A4. If you've got some SNPs in that gene, then you're going to have a lower conversion, and then you have to, you know, support it even more so. The important things to look at here when you're looking at this with someone is the ratios. Now, fortunately, your 4-hydroxy is low. That's the dangerous metabolite. Yours is 9.1%, and the range is 7.5 to 11. 16 is also has some danger to it, but it also is protective of your bone. So my concern for you is it's teeny tiny. It's 2.8 and it should be 13 to 30. So you want to make sure that you're doing things that are supportive of your bone while you get this imbalance. It might come up if you do increase that estriol. It could be iodine, so keep that in mind. It's a possibility. Iodine load test would help you understand that. And I would just try the Estadapt and see if that makes a difference. Okay. The other thing, make sure that you're supporting bone. So now we have to go, okay, what's in bone? Well, if you go into the site in the section in the Body Freedom Foundations, you'll see that off on the right-hand side, the diet section. There's a section on eating for bone health. So I'd be looking at that and make sure that you're upping a variety of the nutrients and foods that you need to support bone. So if you're seeing somebody who has this low 16, we really want to see, well, how can we bring it up? And bringing it up can have to do with iodine and estriol. But also we want to support their bone at the same time, because you want to make sure your bones are given what they need. And we know that when people go through menopause, they tend to get more fractures, and it's related to estrogen. It's particularly that 16 hydroxy form of the estrogen. Okay. If we look at your methylation, it's possible. Have you done any genetic testing?
No. I have not.
You know, it's possible that you have some genetic issues because your ratio is low in terms of the methylated versus the non-methylated. So your 2-hydroxy is going down via the COMT and also the MTHFRs. So that would be something to look at, is the methylation pathways, right? You may need some methylated vitamins to support you. Whoops. What happened? Okay. I have too many windows open.
I see it off to the side.
Oh, it closed it accidentally. Okay. Let me open it in a new tab. That way it won't close accidentally. All right. Okay. So questions so far, you'll need to watch these a gazillion times, right? Over and over, see various variations on the Dutch test. Your testosterone, you know, DHA is on the low side, testosterone's on the low side. There's an enzyme called aromatase that will convert testosterone down into estrogen. So we tend to see that as women age, the testosterone goes down because that aromatase thing is trying to bring your estrogens into a healthy level, right? And you're right in the middle of this 5-alpha reductase. So there's an androgen called DHT, dihydrotestosterone, that can be carcinogenic. With men, it can lead to increased risk of prostate cancer. And you tend to be, that's this side of it, you tend to be in the middle, but more towards the beta. So there's nothing here to be concerned about. Interesting. So your cortisone is just fine. Perfect. This is what I want to see your cortisol look like. Mm. And your cortisol is high. So if you continue to be shooting off your wad, basically, of cortisol, you're going to start to see some of the inactive go down, right? Mm. Your kind of storage form, if you will. Okay, just checking. All right, so this is what I want to see as well. This is a really important page. They just added this about a year ago. Maybe it's two, I don't know. But this gives you some of the organic acids to give you an idea of some of the nutrients that are important in these pathways. So your B12 looks like it's okay. Your B6 looks like it's okay. Your glutathione looks like it's okay. Everything here looks like it's okay. Right? So all your vitamins related, your glutathione, antioxidant, melatonin. So these all look like they're in reasonable range. All right. I see a lot of stuff off in here. Now, what I would also look at is get a regular blood test and look at your MCD and your homocysteine. And you may have an MTHFR that's low, that's off, and maybe not. So if those things are normal, the other thing to look at on your, if you get a genetics, is to look at your COMT, catecholamine O-methyl transferase. And that's the one that breaks down the estrogens and methylates them, right? The COMT will also break down the 4-hydroxy, right? Your 4-hydroxy is in normal range, but you know, that's the one, this is the carcinogenic one. And if you have low COMT function, then you're going to get a buildup of the 4-hydroxy. In this case, it's not true because everything's low. So nothing's really building up, right?
Is this where you would think about bioidentical? I did try a little bit, but I think I had shared with you the last time when they tried it with me, I got sick to my stomach.
Yeah, so this is what I would recommend for bioidentical, right? If you go and get over-the-counter Biomatrix, and you start with one drop and then another drop and then another drop, right? Then you can control it.
I can control it, yeah.
Right? Same thing with the progesterone. You can control it. Don't have to do oral. Maybe there's something going on orally where you were not being able to break down and metabolize it. But with the topical, tiny bit applied to the vulva, that's what I would recommend for that. If I were in your situation, that's what I would be doing.
And you said the MC, well, you said with Lori, what was the MCV? What's the level it should be at?
I like to see it in the 80s, like below 90, you know, and I don't want it below 80 because then you may have an iron deficiency.
Okay.
So I know we went through that quickly and we're just about at the end of time, but I'm open for questions on any of this, you know, from anybody actually at this point, and see where we're at. Let's see who's on here. You know, all of these, it all adds up. And this gives you a general idea for yourself of what to do, but also as you're working with people, the kind of questions to ask and the kind of testing you might want to do for a follow-up. Yes. Anybody else have questions? Who's on here that may have a question? There's Lynn. You have any input, Lynn?
Well, I'm feeling from people a lot of like, oh no, you know, like,
yeah, and it will go over your head. If you've just joined the program within the last 3 months, that's how you should feel.
But I really want to help people just ground them down. And as you always teach us, look at the basics. Mm-hmm. Are you drinking your water? Are you chewing your food? Are you taking that time to relax? And I, because I often have that feeling, like I got a client recently that had their stool test had things like hafnia and rototurula, and I'm just like, well, how would he do there? And so I'm just saying it happens often. And then I just like, okay, what does Dr. Rita Marie teach? Are they drinking water? Are they chewing their food? Are they, you know,
are they eating probiotic containing foods on a regular basis?
Right. Are they even doing it? Yeah. You know, are they doing those basics? So yeah, like Elaine said, are they sleeping?
Right.
You know, and so I just want to share that with people before they get way out here and just, it's okay to just drop down and look at those simple things, because you can do immense work for yourself and other people just by addressing that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Yeah. And that's why with Patty, you know, when I asked you about those particular things, and with Lori, okay, Lori's was a little more complicated because she's tried so many things. So what do we do next, right? She seems to have good habits. Now what? Right? Okay, let's look at the basics, which I think are the basics. Ketone and glucose testing. Running your numbers through a program to see where are some of the micronutrients that may or may not be working properly. Do you know what I mean? Like simple things like that, that we may think, you know, we've gotten a little more sophisticated than that, but they're pretty simple, you know, that we have to look at. So I think, Lori, I think we're going to find some interesting stuff there with the glucose ketones, right? Because you already said you have some high glucose numbers, and looking at your macros and playing with that, right? Maybe they look like they have the perfect macro micronutrient or the perfect macro ratios, but it may not be perfect for them. You know? And we need to look at it. Maybe you need more fat. Intuitive when you have an elevated cholesterol. You're going, more fat? No, can't do that. But sometimes just shifting the fat level up helps everything drop back into place, right? And you do it for a length of time. If it's going in the wrong direction, then you know, well, let's not do it that way. You want to also look at in your genes your ApoE4 status. If it's a 4-4, then you really want to be careful about the saturated fats and getting those eggs out of there and getting all the dairy out and getting the meat out and only having things like fish if you're going to do animal products, lean fish, because the ApoE4-4, you don't have the mechanism to take care of all that. Right. Cool. Questions? I see Elaine. Hi.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I've been wondering about the Epstein-Barr lab testing. Do you think that's a good thing to do with blood? Is it fairly accurate?
There's a lot of controversy, and I can't say for sure what I think of it. And I haven't read her book yet, but I'm going to sit down with it and like pour through her attitude with it. Cassia's book that I mentioned earlier, because she's been doing this for 15 years with amazing results with people. And I want to find out her opinion on some of that. And I'm going to see month as well.
I'll get her book then. I know I was diagnosed with it many years ago, and there's a lot of things that seem like it could be related to that now.
Yeah, so, and there are some folks who it's just the antibody's still there, but I think there are some testing, there are some more finely granular testing that you can do to determine is it active or is it not active, you know, by the type of antibodies and stuff like that. but that's not my, you know, that's not my area of expertise. So I can't jump off the top of my head and talk about that at this point, but I do think it's something that needs to be considered.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And another question is, now, what do you feel about taking the ProAdapt? I think is probably a little easier to take orally without much risk than the
I wouldn't S-Adapt. Take the Estadapt. I mean, it is Estriol, so it's not a big deal, but Estadapt is going to be best used down there.
Okay.
Right? Because that's where the estriol is most active. I'm not a fan. I'm a little leery about taking any kind of estrogens orally, although I think that it probably is fine to take estriol orally. I just don't know if it's going to be as effective because it has to go through some of those other stages of detoxification. So it might end up going into the liver and not really getting utilized very well. So I would use that down yonder, in the vulva area.
And how do you compare oral versus topical on the ProAdapt?
Well, progesterone, you know, depends, right? So progesterone taken at night orally can have a profound effect on sleep.
Okay.
Right? And then, you know, again, progesterone orally is much safer. I mean, it's been shown to be that. So, but I think still, if you can get it in right away in a place that it's going to work, and I think everybody's just got to test it and see. Yeah, but with the estrogen, I'm a little leery to have people try it, or especially if they have any history of breast cancer or family history of that as well.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought, but I just wanted some clarification. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're welcome. Anything else? WP, there we go. So I talked about before, Armour has been having a little weirdness lately. People are saying the batches are very inconsistent. But Nature, WP, that's the one I was trying to think about. WP and NP thyroid. And it's going to work differently from person to person. So if you get a prescription and it doesn't work all that well, next time say, can you give me a different prescription? Like each time get a different prescription and see which one tends to work the best, because I see so many variations across people. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to run. All right, guys, have a great rest of the day. If I don't, do we have any more? Yeah, we have calls next week for our regular calls. But this is our last case study call for this decade. Good job. And know that if you are new or not, you know, been through that many of these calls, that a lot of this stuff does feel overwhelming. And we always, always, always have to go back to the basics, like Lynn said. Right. I'm jumping in here because we have a short period of time and I want to look at this stuff, but you got to look at the diet. You got to look at food allergies. You've got to look at inflammatory type foods. You've got to look at the stress. Like Lori said, she's sleeping 8 hours, but when I started mentioning meditation, I saw like a look on her face like, that's something I have a trouble with. I don't know if I read something into that. Was that true? Yeah.
It's more timing because I'm very busy. But, I don't practice it often, although I do it occasionally.
Okay, yeah. So that's the feeling I got. So when it's about timing, it's okay to meditate for 3 minutes. It doesn't have to be a half an hour and an hour and sitting there in, you know, monk-style position chanting. No, it can just be something you stop, do a few breaths, allow your body. You'll feel it. Even just taking a breath. Just go, everybody do it right now. Just go ahead and just stop and take a deep breath, a diaphragmatic breath, and allow everything to drop. Does that feel different? Set a timer on your clock and do it every hour. One breath. And every time you move yourself into parasympathetic, even though if you move right back out, every time you move into parasympathetic, you are adding to your bank account, your reserves, right? You're helping your body to heal. And the more we could teach people this and the more we could do it ourselves, the more effective we're going to be. Okay. Parasympathetic is it. Getting into parasympathetic is the key to health and longevity. makes a huge difference. It's blood sugar balance, it's gut balance, it's microbiome, it's adrenals for sure, thyroid, Hashimoto's, immune system. Just think in terms of when you get up, how often can I get myself into parasympathetic today? And when you actually stop and finish the breath, I have people who go, oh yeah, okay, I'll do it. And then midway through, they breathe in and they go, and I want to tell you more. I'm like, okay, you haven't gotten there yet. Let's finish that breath. Let's do another. When my kids were real little, my husband traveled all the time. Monday through Friday, he was gone out of town. I had two little kids. I was trying to homeschool them, feed them right, do all this stuff. And if I'd lose it, I remember one time my now 21-year-old, then 4-year-old, said, I was mad at his brother. He says, Mom, take a deep breath. And I went, okay. And then he goes, Mom, take another deep breath. So I did. He goes, Mom, you might as well sit down now because we're going to do 10 of them. He was a little kid. He's this little kid. Mommy, sit down now. We're going to do 10. He got it, right? He got the power of breath as a little boy, right? We all need to take a break. No matter how busy you are, you can stop and invest 30 seconds to a minute in a breath. And you can teach your clients and your patients how to do that. Make sense? Yes? Everybody open to doing that? Okay. If we look at my genes, I have tons of anxiety genes. If you look at my genes, you would think I was a mess. My mental health genes are the pits. Okay. But because of this process and because I've learned to do this and practice it, yeah, I still go off the deep end sometimes. Lynn's seen me do that. I go off, we all do. But the more I can do this, the more you wouldn't know that I'm like Miss Anxiety and, depression and ADD, because I've been able to learn through techniques, and you can teach people and you can learn it too. Okay. All right, guys, have a great rest of the week. I don't know if I'll see you later in the week for something. We usually do. Bye. Unmute. All right. Let me hear your voices. Bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.